Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
Hey, this morning I'm really excited to be able to share this a story with you guys. We here, if you're kind of new here, it's a couple words you're going to hear a lot about. One's going to be grace, the other one's going to be storytellers. To the point that some of you are probably ready to throw up. You've heard the word storyteller so much, but no, this thing called storytelling is super, super important to us. We got a brand new story over there, looks like. That's awesome. Very cool. Little one over there. So the thing is we love story. Really, when I read the gospel, when I read scripture, when I take a look at what these guys were doing, is they were living out the story. Whose story? His story, right? We don't have really our own stories. It's really his story that we get to play a part in. And so around here as a church, we really, really love to hear story. We love to hear what God's doing in your life. And you're going to notice over the next year and couple years as we go, we're going to have more opportunities to be able to hear from you. I want to hear from what's God doing in your life. When we look at Revelation and we see how we overcome, it's by what? It's by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our what? Our story, right? Our testimony, right? It's by this thing that we're attributing back to God, saying, God, look at what you have done. And if there's nothing that I love doing with the enemy, it's throwing stories in his face to talk about what God has been up to and what God has been doing. So that's storytelling in kind of a nutshell. We tell our story through testimony like this, but we also do it by doing something together, being a part of something that you guys are going to get to hear about this morning, and that is Alive. Gabe Wells, who is our middle school director, is also heavily involved in our middle school students' lives, as you might imagine by the name, and he does such an incredible job, and we've brought these guys in this morning, so we're talking about your teacher this morning. Is that all right? Woo! Okay, whatever. All right. Well, this morning, I'm so excited to get to this. We're going to enjoy, I got to interview Gabe and got to get a little piece of his story, which some of you guys probably don't know much about what you're about to see, but then we're going to get up here and we're going to talk to Gabe afterwards. So sit back, relax, and enjoy.
When I first heard the grace message, the gospel of grace, it was exciting like no other message I'd ever heard. Grace drew me in. In church growing up, I enjoyed going to church. My friends were there, so I like to go. I mean, my favorite memories as a kid is going out into behind the church and rolling down the hills over and over and over again, and then running back up the hill to roll back down the hill. And I learned a lot about God and who God is, but I didn't have a desire to pursue that outside of the walls of the church. Right before I started sixth grade is when we were on vacation in the Keys, and my dad had been saying that he had something that was bothering him, like, and he was just feeling sick, and we were on vacation this whole time, and so we didn't really know what to do. We had to cut the vacation short, and we went back to Orlando, where we went to the hospital to get him checked to see what's going on, and they said, like, don't worry, everything's fine. It's just a little cyst that we can handle that, and we'll cut it out, and everything will be fine. But it turns out that over time, after that, it did not get better. Nothing got better, and we had to go and get another diagnosis. And that's when they said, "Your dad has cancer, and if we had found this earlier, maybe we could have done something. But it's too late. He has 6 months to live." At this point, I'm about, I just started my sixth grade year, so middle school, especially in the beginning, was not easy. When I was told that my dad had cancer, I just kind of shut down emotionally. Throughout the entire process, I only cried, I think, two times. I don't feel like I was ready to process any of these emotions. I just kind of shut down. I was just really distant. I went to school, but I hated it. Church was the place where I did have family and friends that were going to be supportive, and I took a lot of pressure on at that point. Even as a sixth grade kid, I felt that I'm the man of the house. I need to take care of my family. This is my responsibility to make sure that they're okay. And so that was my mindset for a while, but that caused me a lot of stress. I wasn't doing well in school. I wasn't capable of handling that on my own, and I knew it. So I remember making a conscious decision that I knew that I had two options. I could be angry at God for what happened to me, or I can trust God and know that He can take this and turn it into something good, make something of it, you know. I didn't necessarily feel like I was being led a certain direction, but that after making that choice that I wasn't going to be angry at God, that I was going to be trusting in Him, that's when I felt the pressure, like, release, and I knew that God was there on the other side of that decision, that He'd been with me the whole time. I just wasn't able to necessarily see that when I was trusting in my own self to carry this weight. Then I felt like God was leading me out of my situation that I was in, and I got invited to the youth group, and I got invited to camp, and those were both amazing experiences for me, especially going to camp, but that was the first time I'd heard a grace message. The gospel of grace was completely contrary to everything that I had heard up until this point. Reading all this in a new light brought a lot of questions that I needed to know the answers to, and that I wasn't necessarily capable of understanding on my own, so I started meeting with Javen, and I bothered him just about every week to get coffee with me and explain to me, okay, what about this question? What about this, as I was wrestling through what grace means and how you apply that to all these different areas of life. It's because grace affects the whole way that you read the Bible. It doesn't, when you read it in this new light, it's, you have to basically throw out everything that you've learned up until this point because it's completely different. You read it in a new perspective that is no longer about what I can do, but about what God did for me. And that's the amazing thing, and that was exciting. I wanted to know more about it. And so, really, it's funny that I work in a coffee shop now because I feel like that's where grace found me, was in a coffee shop talking with Javen and getting excited about the gospel. And that's it. Grace drew me in, and I'm so glad it did, because now I get to be a part of this family, this Grace Church family, that we get to do life together and tell our story, tell His story together. I miss my dad all the time, but I know that he's watching me right now laughing as I'm stumbling through life, and I just know he's proud of me.
Wow. All right, so without further ado, help me welcome Gabe Wells. Come on up to the stage. How you doing, Gabe? You probably need a microphone, otherwise we're not going to hear you at all. Hang on. I heard this one's a good one. Check. Hello. Try that.
Hello.
I heard the O part. There you are. Well, Gabe, thanks so much for being a part of this. Thanks for being vulnerable enough to share your story, and I really appreciate it. Is anybody else here touched as I was hearing this story? It's amazing. And we'll get to some of those elements here in a moment, but to kind of kick us off, why don't you tell us, how did you find Grace Church? Like, why don't you tell us, like, how did you end up in our fellowship?
Well, I went to school with some people. Olivia Niquette went to school with her, and so she invited me to go to Static and then eventually to camp. And
Now, I remember that experience. And the Gabe that you guys know and love now was a very different Gabe back then. How old were you then?
Oh, gosh. I had just finished eighth grade, so however old somebody who just finished eighth grade is.
So, does anybody else have a hard time remembering the ages? I always do, too. Okay, so you came out of middle school, and I remember when Gabe kind of came in, and he was that shy, quiet, like, all the things you would never associate with Gabe now, I remember. And then we went on a famous trip where I threw you in the back of a van and said, here, get to know somebody, and I think that's pretty much how it went.
Yeah, I mean,
it's what you do with ninth graders, is you throw them in the back of a van and you say, here, get to know Jesus or the guy next to you, one or the other.
that's some kind of way of evangelism right there.
Everyone's like, he was the youth pastor for how long? Anyway, well, part of the experience for me, what I really got to enjoy in seeing Gabe, you heard it in the testimony, Gabe was one of those students, which, of course, every student is special, and I love all of them, but every once in a while, one pops up that just kind of, you just look at him going, where did this person come from? Like, who is this person? And that was Gabe, because when he began to see the message of grace, what he said there about how he would come with me and meet with me every week or whatever, that's not an exaggeration. And I remember there were many times we'd sit down at a Starbucks or whatnot, and Gabe would have read some obscure passage of scripture, and he's like, Javen, what does this mean, you know? And I'm thinking, can I have a little bit of time to go pray about it for a bit, aka, I don't remember this verse, like, where did you find this? But that was him. I mean, he'd scour the Bible, and he would find this stuff that was incredible.
I've still got all the scripture references in the front of my Bible of questions for Javen.
Here, give us one. read one off, just for fun.
This one just says, can God fail? Question mark. And,
so easy stuff. I mean, just basic stuff. Things a normal ninth grader, I'm sure, thinks of. Well, Gabe, I think it would be interesting is to learn, what were some things that grace taught you? This message, the gospel.
I think that by far the biggest thing that I came to realize through grace was that God's feelings towards me are not going to change ever based on anything at all. My favorite verse became Romans 8, 38 and 39, which the gist of is that nothing can separate you from God's love. And so coming to realize that not even I am capable of separating myself from God's love, I mean, that's a big deal.
That's awesome.
Because I feel like you can often think that, like, yeah, sure, nothing outside can separate me from God's love, but what about me? Like, I can sure separate myself from it, but even that is impossible to do. And, I mean, that verse lists out a million things can't separate you from God's love. So
it seems to cover the bases.
It's nice, yeah.
when you get down to even hell, you know, I mean, that's probably everything. So what are some of the things that grace taught you?
The other big thing would be that I don't have to earn anything. I think that even is a subconscious thought sometimes. At least it was for me before I found grace was, sure, I know that God loves me, but I still need to do this, that, this, and the other thing on my to-do list of, like, to be a good Christian for him to really be, like, proud of me, you know? Mm. Or for him to not be disappointed, you know, I got to make sure that I've went to church and prayed, like, the thing and then confessed what I need to confess and apologize for what I need to apologize for, you know.
Which I feel like in traditional youth ministry, that has, I mean, in my experience, I was a youth minister for 17 years, and I got to see it kind of on a lot of different angles. And one of the ways was, I remember it was always so easy to fill up the front area or the altar, if you will, by just letting people know how much God was upset with them or how much they needed to come up here and repent and apologize and go through the rigmarole of all of that when you discovered the truth was so much different than that and then came to a youth group. I don't know, how did that impact even your experience just as a student?
Give me that in a different way.
Yeah, sure. In a form of a question, right. So when... I like to just talk and then just dump it on you. You just figure it out. But what I'm saying is I guess, you know, as a youth pastor, I mean, you're now, you know, doing student ministry. It's hard to quantify whether or not they're getting it or not, so I guess is what I'm saying. And so oftentimes we look at, well, did you fill up the front area? Are they repenting? Are they bawling their eyes out? And then they must have got it. But I know that from your experience, saying things like, God's not angry with me, I don't have to perform, all these kind of things you're saying, well, obviously, I don't know, how does that change your ministry? How does that change the ministry as a whole?
Well, I think that when you're not focused on works and what they have to do, then they're not going to be focused on themselves. They're going to be focused on each other. And that's exactly what you want in a ministry, is for people to be loving each other and not focused on their own, what they're up to, but caring about the friends that they're making in Alive and building that community together.
Well, and certainly, I think you'd say it puts your eyes back on Jesus, right? I mean, that's
right.
Like when you take it off of all of your performance, all the things that you have to do. And I love this for our teenagers, for our youth. They're not being told to constantly look inward and see all the things that they need God to take, so to speak, but instead reflecting on what God has done. And it changes everything, right? I mean, I love that you saw grace and then wanted to read your Bible more than you probably ever did.
Yeah, I mean, in the old, like, what I was learning before, it was, the more that I looked into it, the more guilty I would feel. And so it's like, no thanks, I'd rather not. But then when you start reading with the new grace perspective, yeah, then you're not learning about how guilty you should feel, but how much God loves you and how much, like, you have to look forward to in the future. And that's what I want to read about. That
that's awesome.
That's exciting. And I have, like, questions are fun. It's fun to have questions and to wrestle with, yeah, things. And that was an exciting, you know, thing to do, and I mean, still do now.
Well, and I thought it was fun too, is I definitely did not have every answer for you, and there were many times where I think as believers, as teachers, as leaders, so many of us, we always feel like you have to have all the answers, you know. And I love that you would bring up stuff that, I mean, honestly, we would just pray about, because I don't have a clue, Gabe. This is a random obscure verse that I have to do some mega research to figure out the context. But what I can do is we can pray together. And I love that there was that freedom just to go right to God. And I don't know, I always felt like it was so light. It wasn't a heavy thing at all. It was fun to explore it with God, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it was. It definitely was.
Well, were there things that, you know, we watched this video, we hit your story. Were there things you experienced, or things that you experienced after the fact that you can look back now and reflect on, as far as in your dad's story? Like, how does grace, how does the gospel sort of make you see it maybe in a different light?
Yeah, I think that, like I said in the video, the biggest deal was when I made the conscious, I had to make a choice not to be angry at God, but to trust him. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily easy to do in the middle of a scenario like that, or an experience like that. But I think that the biggest thing I took away from that specifically is, even though, and the advice that I would have for somebody going through something similar would be, even though I didn't necessarily feel I was being led in that moment, I'm losing my train of thought here.
It's okay.
even though I didn't necessarily feel like, oh yeah, God is totally leading me to this thing right here, and I know that God's with me, I know that for sure, I didn't necessarily feel that in the middle of this experience. And that's okay, I think. I feel like we're kind of expected sometimes to, you know, I talked to God and I heard back right immediately, but that's not necessarily how it was when I was in it. But once I had made that choice and I knew that I was going to trust God, that I knew that he was going to pull me through it, that's when I was able to look back retrospectively and see all the things that God was doing that I just wasn't able to see.
That's awesome.
When I was in it. And so God was working through the entire thing in bringing me to Grace Church, bringing me the right people that I needed to be around, bringing me to a new school. I just didn't notice that in the time. But it was amazing and an incredible experience to be outside of it, having already been brought through and seeing God and realizing that he had already done so much. And it was just, I don't know, it was just an amazing thing.
Now, how easy was, I mean, I know it's not easy, but how easy was it just to say, like, okay, God, I'm choosing not to be mad at you over something that obviously nobody can understand or wrap their head around, really?
Well, it didn't really even seem like a choice when I thought about it, because I was really looking at living a life of just anger and frustration and not wanting to be, like, a part of anything, and then leaving, like, church. If I want to be angry at God, I mean, I don't know. That didn't seem healthy even anyway. But, or I can put all that stress that I was feeling and that I'd put on myself and put it on Jesus, because I knew that I couldn't do it on my own. And I knew that the other option was doing it on my own. Mm. And so, again, that wasn't really almost a choice. But it also wasn't easy in that giving up putting up that pressure, that stress of saying, like, you know, I'm like the man of the house now. This is my
right.
This is my thing that I have to deal with. Giving that to somebody else and taking that responsibility away isn't necessarily something I wanted to do.
Were there times that you felt like maybe you wanted to take hold of it again or take it back up? Or, I mean,
once I did give it up, then I remember physically feeling a pressure lifted from me, and I did not want it back. I was like,
God had it.
Yeah, and so, but the actual getting to a place where I was ready to do that wasn't necessarily easy.
Right. Well, it was interesting. I feel like you kind of lived the story out, and then God gave you sort of theology on the backside. You know, it wasn't like you were being led through theological learning or whatever, but it was.
Right.
It was you went through something, you made some decisions, God walked with you through it, and then he revealed to you how much he loves you on the backside. Does that feel kind of how it went?
I feel like that's definitely how it went. I think I experienced grace and then learned about it after. Because, I mean, I was going to a religious school, so I wasn't hearing the grace message there. I was hearing it from you. But then after having gone through this experience, I would go and I'd talk to, you know, my Bible teachers at school, and they'd say something completely opposite to what you would say. Like, I remember having many talks about predestination stuff, and it scared me so bad. I remember talking to my teacher and saying, "How do I know did I make it? Did I make the cut?" And I was like horrified. And he's like, "Well, if you are afraid, then that probably means that you're good to go." And
logical
like,
conclusion.
That fear means that you are probably saved. And that was really the thing that I was able to, like, okay, something's not right here. We just sang about that God silences fear.
Yeah.
And so why on earth would fear be a, like, tool that God uses to show you that you're saved? Like, it just makes no sense to me at all.
Certainly an interesting Bible class.
But yeah, I mean, I would go to him and I'd talk, and then I'd come to you. And I mean, they can be very convincing in the moment. They give you like a ton of scripture that sounds like, well, you know what? I mean, this sounds pretty convincing. And I'd go to you, and then I'd say, what about all this stuff? Like, I mean, that's what all these Bible verses are. And then you would tell me, okay, no, that's ridiculous. You're not taking into context the whole rest of the Bible. And so I feel like once I was understood that you can't just, like, you can nitpick and take little pieces of the Bible out and line them all up and say, like, whatever you want. But I think that the biggest realization for me was that that's not theology. That's making God who you want him to be. And when I read through under the new perspective of what Jesus had already done, then a lot of those verses didn't make sense anymore because I couldn't apply them to what I had experienced already. I mean, I had experienced grace, and I knew what God was. I knew who God was because I'd experienced him. And so anything that I would read that seemed like contrary to that, I would read more about and read, you know, in context, and I feel like then it wouldn't make any sense more, and I'd say, that's the God I know. That's the God I experienced. That's the God of grace, not of fear.
That's awesome. You know? That's very cool. How many of you guys have had that same experience where you had to kind of re-go through the entire Bible again and start over? Yeah, okay, I'm not the only one. That's awesome. And I remember thinking, your poor teacher must hate my guts, you know, because Gabe would come to me and then he'd go back to school and come back and forth. And
yeah, you were notorious.
I was notorious. I always wanted to be famous, but infamous, that'll work. Anyway, okay, well, let's move on to... So you come to the church. I remember getting to watch you. You came out of the season. I mean, honestly, just watching the Spirit do in you was incredible, watching you mature and grow up right in front of my eyes, which, again, all that you're hearing, all of these things he's saying, he was saying is like a 10th grader, like an 11th grader in high school. This is not your average high schooler, okay? And I think it's great that we have your whole crew in here. You guys have got something to reach for. Gabe Just, this is what the Spirit did in his life, was just fantastic to watch, and I loved watching him lead you, which again, near and dear to my heart, he led you into student ministry. So why middle schoolers?
The biggest thing is that, well, I'd say it's two parts. Part one is that having gone through something crazy in middle school, I know what it is like to be in a tough situation and also be going through all the other crazy stuff that middle schoolers have to go through, because it's not an easy time regardless. And then the second thing is, awkward is not necessarily something you grow out of. And so
there's some actual head bobs going across the room. This is great.
I feel like people are with
others
me
of you
on
are
this.
Feeling the same way.
I think that it takes a certain level of awkward to do middle school ministry. And to
is he awkward with you guys? Is he awkward ever?
Yeah, I'm sure they have plenty of stories. Yeah. Which hopefully, I mean, they won't share, because I know we're having a couple of them come up here after.
Yeah, well, share us real quick. Share us like, okay, I'll actually start this, because there's a story that I'd like some explanation on. There was one time, this is back when I was in the kids' church room, and I come walking out down the hallway, and I remember seeing Gabe stand by the Alive door, and he had, it was Easter, and he had eggs. And so, you know, okay, Easter eggs, I get it. But they were hard-boiled shelled eggs in a bag. I mean, the smell alone, like, I mean, down the hallway, I'm thinking, what are they doing in there? And then I walk up, and there's teenagers walking out with their hands open, like, please, sir, can I have some more? And you're, like, putting an egg, like, on their hands. Like, what happened there?
That was a learning experience, I think. Our goal was,
let's start there. What was the point of this?
We thought it would be funny to, like, build up the entire time. I don't know if anybody was there for that. I think Clark, no, you guys weren't, maybe Seth. And Troy, they remember this.
They're scarred for life. Yeah, continue.
Well, our goal was to build up the entire service, that we had a treat for them at the end, and that it was eggs. And for them to think, like, oh, we're getting candy at the end. But for us to end up giving them hard-boiled eggs. But it didn't work, because I don't know if anybody has ever been around a plastic bag full of, like, 30 hard-boiled eggs. But you can smell them from pretty far away. We fooled nobody in this, and everybody knew pretty fast what was going on.
Yeah, I feel like they learned pretty quick not to raise their hand or sign up for things and get excited about what you're going to give them. Do you have any other stories before we're going to have a couple of these guys come up and say some stuff, but is there any other stories that stand out?
One of the learning other learning experiences was from the first year that we ever did Alive, and so what I wanted to do was involve the kids in a retelling of the Adam and Eve story. And so,
where could that go wrong?
Right, many ways. And so it was gonna be like they were gonna act it out, and it was gonna be a fun thing. But there's a problem. There really aren't that many roles in the story, and I didn't think about that beforehand. But I mean, there's like four roles involved in this whole thing. And so I filled those up pretty fast, but I have like 10 more middle schoolers that I need to like give jobs.
Everybody
to.
Wants a job.
And so people were trees, and there was a lot of someone was an apple.
An apple. That must have been a fun role.
And everybody else was like livestock.
livestock's so the go-to.
We had like many sheep, and so Troy and Seth, I think, were sheep. And they totally hijacked the entire thing.
No.
And I don't think that we even got through the message at all or the play at all, because they spent the entire time being sheep going, sheep noise, sheep noise.
You guys didn't even make the sheep sound.
Yelling,
so bad.
Yelling that throughout the entire thing. And so I definitely learned a lesson there.
Well, let me ask you this. We laugh, but this is something Gabe does really, really well. If you're in a ministry with teenagers, you got to be able to think pretty quick on your feet. And I don't know how you redeemed it, but I'm sure you did. But what advice would you give parents of maybe middle schoolers or teenagers who maybe are thinking, okay, I can't seem to understand the awkward?
Right. I think that if I've learned anything about middle schoolers from the past like 4 years or however long that it's been. It feels like longer than that.
middle school ministry.
You know. It's that middle schoolers are often, I think, underestimated in what they can learn and what they can do. And so it's been my goal to raise the standard in many ways in what I teach them and what I expect of them. And I think that that's that makes them feel like less. I feel like oftentimes middle schoolers are looked down on as, like, they don't really know what's going on. They're just here to, like, hang out or whatever. But that's not true. they want to learn, and they can handle a lot more than we often give them credit for. And so,
that's awesome. That's awesome. They agree, actually.
They got some amens from that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Gabe, before we move on to the next segment, you've been through this thing, and we know, and I've had a lot of time to talk about it with your dad. Is there any advice you would give? I know we all face tragedy at some point in our life. What is something that you feel like you learned from walking through that as far as your relationship with God goes?
I think that my testimony is boiled down to that God can take anything and make it amazing. Like, even the worst thing, like the death of a parent. I don't think I'd be where I am today or be able to do what I do today if it weren't for that experience. And that's not to say that I don't miss my dad. Of course I do. I miss him all the time. But what God has been able to do through that has been so amazing and so impactful to me. And I think that being able to take that and apply that to ministry in middle schoolers' lives and say, whatever you're going through, God is on the other side of that. Even if you don't feel it right now, even if he's not if you don't feel him with you right now, it's just because you're in it. And I promise you that you're going to get on the other side of this and see all the ways that God has been working in your life and be so thankful and just amazed at what he can do.
Boy, that's good advice for all of us. Amen. That's awesome. Well, I have had just the absolute pleasure of getting to walk with Gabe and getting to watch God do all the things that he does in his life. And I think I speak for your dad when I say that he is absolutely proud of you. And we're proud of you too. Amen. All of the different things you do around here. Thanks, Gabe. I thought it would be good to hear from a couple of Gabe's students. We have some students that are graduating out of Alive. Alive, so you guys know, was an experiment, which these guys were guinea pigs for. I've told them that. So is it really a guinea pig if they know they're a guinea pig? Yes.
Okay. There you go.
Thank Quick you, answers Melissa. From Melissa. But the idea is that I know a lot of churches say you should not have a middle school ministry. Don't do that. It's nothing but trouble and eggs and things like we've smelled. The good news is we decided to give it a shot. We really felt God led us to do it. And it's been incredible to watch students. We have some students that even ride their bikes, ride their skateboards. And I'm talking for like a good amount of distance, which, okay, I don't know what you were like in middle school. And I'm sure you think that I was just perfect at all times. But what? I never would have rode my bike to church as a middle schooler. Like, that blows my mind. And so the fact that students are so wanting to be a part of this and wanting to be a part of what's happening in this room, it's been an incredible experience. So for the past few years, we've gotten to watch an entire generation, if you will, kind of go through it. And so we're going to invite up here to join us Claire and Hunter, if you guys would join us. And we're going to hear from these guys this morning as well. Do you want to scoot this that way a little bit? Got you guys some stools.
Thank you.
Come join us. This is Claire and Hunter. Both been around the church for a long, long time, longtime members as well. As I got to see these guys when they were kiddos in the kids' church room, so I got to watch them grow. So, I mean, anything that you got from them was probably first set up by me is really what I'm saying. But no, we're glad to have you guys up here. Hey, well, we'd love to hear from you guys, and I know that Gabe doesn't know what you're really going to say here, so be nice. But no, I really would love to hear. What are some of your favorite memories of being in Alive?
Well, I was going to talk about the performance, but there was this one time where he got, like, potatoes, and we had to stick straws in them and, like, balance, I think, Skittles or M&Ms on them. But he gave Clark, like, a rock or something. It was, like, wasn't a potato.
It looked like a potato, but it was incredibly dense and hard.
He couldn't get the straws in there, and that was just so funny to me.
I'm not sure what the spiritual implications of the potato was, but I'm sure it was incredible. Here you go, Hunter. Any other favorite memories from Alive?
Well, I really liked when he talked about, like, the armor of God, how, like, he protects us through, like...
No, I'm laughing at what it was like.
Right, yeah.
What was it like, first of all?
Well, one thing is that Gabe would, like, put on this, like, plastic child armor that I would wear when I was, like, 5 years old. So every week he would do something.
Like the kids set?
Like, yeah, oh, like, wow. He would wear the chest plate, and it took 8 minutes to get that thing on.
What happens in Alive? Just people getting dressed. Awesome. That's great. And so where were you going with this? So you watched him do this.
Well, yeah, like, it took him a long time to, like try to fit the helmet on, and, like I think there were, like boots that he, like, couldn't get on it, like,
I'm
at
sure
all.
There were.
And they're, like, I don't know. It was just really funny, and it was, like, he brought, like, the message together really well, and, like, it was, like, he talked about how God would always protect us.
That's awesome. And you obviously remember that from how many years ago?
I think it was sixth grade.
Yeah, that had to be the first year that they were in there.
That's awesome. Nothing since then, though, but that was that was good stuff. Hunter, what about you? A favorite memory?
Yeah, I was definitely at Potato when that was our first day. So it's like, Oh, wow, okay. Welcome to Alive. We're weird. So, man, there's a lot of them. I'm trying to think. One of them was like, well, we always would play games. And we would play a lot of weird games. And like some games we'd play Assassin, which is probably everyone's favorite.
What's it called?
Assassin. It's
Assassin
pretty much you would walk around
Perfect.
Or someone would tap you or they would wink at you and in 5 seconds you'd have to fall down dead. And you have to find out who it is. And one time, what would we play this game? It's called Big Booty or something. That was okay. So pretty much you would just like clap your hands. I know.
We knew this was a mistake. Y'all have a good day.
We all felt the same way. So when we first heard the name, we were all so confused. We're like, what are you talking about? And then it was like this weird game where you clap your hands and then you would have everyone was a number and you would have to say this number to the person. And there was one person who was called the booty, and then there was one, and then everyone else is a number. And if you lost, you were out. But yeah, that was the weirdest game I think we played.
Well, it certainly sounds it. Let's spin it, if you will, towards. I'm scared about what might come out next. Let's move this towards. I'd love to hear like what is the biggest thing that you learned from Alive that you felt like, hey, I will always see God differently because of this. If you say the potato, we're gonna talk.
I mean, it was kind of a mix of like Alive and camp. Like it was my first time at camp. It was very brief. Like, oh, that's nice. Oh my gosh, Louis Giglio, Passion Band. It was really cool. And you're in a room and with everyone, and you're talking. It's like, oh wow, that's nice. And then you get into the second year, and then you understand it a lot more. And I laughed because I realized my second year, I got into it, and then I come back in Alive, and I get a lot more of what Gabe was saying. And I'm like, this is strange. And then I go into eighth grade, when we went to camp just a couple months ago, and then suddenly it's weird because you see your little siblings, like Sister Savannah, Dylan, and Clark's little brother Luke, they're coming, and you remember them being really, really little, and suddenly you see them at camp, and you see their lives changing. And then you're thinking to yourself, like, oh, it's not going to be a big deal, kind of like how it was for me. And then I talked to them after, and they actually got it a lot.
That's awesome.
That, like, oh, wow, that's amazing.
So what grade are you going into?
I'm going to be freshman, ninth grade.
Ninth grade, guys, ninth grade. I love it, Hunter. That's awesome. Thank you.
Well, like, I learned how to trust God. Like, he brought people in and out of my life a lot. So I had, like, really good friends that would move away, or they would be like more better friends with someone else. But I just learned to like trust him that there would be someone who would be my best friend forever, and that I wouldn't like it maybe just one or two people, but I just was able to trust him a lot better with friendships.
That's awesome. And Claire, what grade are you going into?
I'm going into freshman year.
Ninth grade. That's awesome. Can we give these guys a round of applause? Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys. And hey, let's give Gabe a round of applause as well too. Gabe, we love you, man. Isn't it awesome getting to hear? I mean, these are God's stories. This is what God is doing, and he's doing this stuff every single day, all day long, all week long, and I absolutely love celebrating that together. Part of the reason why we wanted to highlight Gabe this morning, we wanted to take a little time to get to know him better, share what God is doing in his life as well as the life of these students, is we are so excited about this middle school ministry back here, and we want to do it to the level that we really, really want to take it. And this is where we need your help. So there's a little bit of a hook this morning, and that is this. Gabe needs some help. He's got, one other person right now?
Two.
Two. He has two people in a room full of crazy middle schoolers with eggs and all kinds of shenanigans that you can only imagine. And so here's what I'm praying. I'm praying for this. I'm praying that you won't feel manipulated into coming help Gabe out of pity for him or like, oh, that feels really sorry for him. Now, I want those of you that say, okay, wait a minute. This is a way that I can go be a part of the next generation and what God is doing in the next generation. I mean, we have ninth graders, folks. Ninth graders that are absolutely in love with Jesus and walking this thing out called the gospel. They're sharing it with their friends. I wish you could hear when I'm sitting at camp and I get to, we go around and do story time and I'm listening to these guys. I mean, Hunter's got the preach on him. Like, he'll get up there and God will start moving through him and he'll start speaking. And I love that, okay? And so it's so much fun and so exciting to be a part of. And when you have the smelly egg moments and you've got the moments where you just scratch your head going, Gabe, I don't know what you're doing here. But what you end up seeing is how God uses that to reach an entire generation of students with the gospel of grace. So here's what I'm pitching to you is that if you're here and you say, hey, I've been looking for a way to get involved, been looking for a way to be a part of this family. Listen, one of the things that I've noticed from being a part of church for a long time is people often say a couple of the same things, and that is, one, I don't know how to plug in. I'm not really sure where I fit. I would love to meet some people. There's some people that I'd love to get plugged in. So this is the best way we have found to do that. Yeah, we can go to life groups. We can go to be a part of different Bible studies and things like that, which are all incredible. But there's just something about doing meaningful kingdom work together. When you are working side by side with somebody else, watching an entire generation come to know the gospel and then want to take the gospel to their schools and see, I mean, come on, y'all. I'm ready to see change. Is anybody else ready to see the gospel impact the schools? Yeah, I'm with you. And so come be a part. The way you can sign up, the way you can be a part is there's on your bulletin, there's a little area there on the side that talks about ways to be involved. And one of those areas will say alive on there. And if it doesn't, you can just write alive in there. But if that's you this morning, you feel God kind of tugging on your heart saying, I can do this. I can promise you this. It will not be as scary as you think. It will not be as crazy as you think because you will be enjoying it so much. I don't think you'll even notice how crazy it actually is. And so you'll really, really enjoy being a part of that. So pray about that if you will. And would y'all stand with me this morning? And we're gonna end this morning how we began, talking to him. His incredible, incredible name. I'm gonna ask the prayer team too, if you guys will go ahead and come on up here to the front. Father, we thank you so much that you are doing an incredible, incredible thing in this generation. My heart does my heart so good, God, to see that behind me there is a generation coming that is going to know you. They're going to know who they are in you, and they're going to share it with the whole world. God, I pray over this generation. Lord, would you move through them in power? Lord, I pray they wouldn't just be a generation that knows things in their head, but God, I pray for a generation that leads through experience, that sees you do powerful things. Lord, I pray that they would have the courage to share this gospel with their friends. I pray they would have the courage to see you move in their lives. Lord, I pray for blind eyes to be opened. Oh, Lord, more and more and more of your stories, more of what you're doing in their lives. In Jesus' name.